He Said, She Said, or Technically Speaking and Simply Put.
Hello, Tracy.
Hello, Corey.
Spring is in the air. It's April. Looking out the window, it's a beautiful blue sky. So what's cooking?
What's cooking is drinking water. And this really moves on with what you're talking about now, is looking out the window and being a beautiful day. It's springtime and spring is in the air. And what happens during springtime for a lot of people?
I don't know, man. They get happy or sad? I don't know.
They get allergies.
Allergies, right. Allergies, I don't get allergies, so I can't relate.
Well, you're very fortunate. You have other things. Everybody's got something. But anyway, the allergy season, and I know a lot of people suffer from it because they're doing a lot of TV commercials right now, and there's a lot of advertising going on. So one of the number one things that you can do for yourself is drink water. And that's what's cooking today, is drinking water. Now, we've talked about drinking water many, many times before on this show and in our articles and in lectures. It just keeps coming up in my life and in conversations and how important drinking water is. I see people in the gym, in the dance studio, on the track and field, and they're just not drinking water. I've heard that you shouldn't drink water when you're working out. That's what I've heard people say. I've heard teachers say that. And I think, no, I mean, not when you're actually doing the exercise, you don't drink the water. But after you've done the exercise, take a break and then have some water. I think it really helps with the dehydration and also muscle cramping. But I'm just finding that people just aren't drinking the water. They take the water with them, but they're not drinking the water. Have you seen that yourself, Corey?
Well, like literally all my life, ever since I learned the importance of water, that our body is principally made of it. Like if you look at a baby born, it's like 80% water. And then it just goes down the tubes from there because of what we eat today. But in the gym, I call it a hydration station. You set it up, and then the best way to recover between sets when you're working out is to walk around and move. And what I do is I walk to my hydration station, my water, and have a sip. And then I walk back to my set, my exercise, and then proceed and repeat.
Absolutely. And not only does it help with dehydration, but also I have a gal pal who has absolutely beautiful skin. She's 55 years old. And I said, so what's the secret to your beautiful skin? And she says, I drink a lot of water. And I'm going, touche. Okay, this is beautiful. I want to talk about that. So I have a 1 cup size glass, and I make sure to drink at least 10 of them a day, if not more, along with a liter of water in my workouts and about 500 mils in a dance class. And we both always carry a bottle of water everywhere we go. Now, make sure that your kids, too, need to drink only water and drink plenty of it. So you have to make sure that the kids take their water bottles with them. That's really important. So it's imperative to understand that chronic dehydration plays a really profound role in the state of our health. It literally is impossible for your body to function properly without adequate hydration. So one of the things that is important, the water intake is crucial to the digestive process, and it also encourages the body to dispose of toxins and waste. And when you've got allergies, it really can help with that if you stay hydrated all day long. Wouldn't you agree with that, Corey?
Absolutely. The solution to pollution is dilution, as you have said so many times. But, you know, with allergies, you've got something coming in, and what you need is something to get rid of it and take it out. And fluid is the universal solvent, water in the body. Now, if you're short on it, which most people are because they eat dry foods, they drink alcohol and coffee, and they don't consume water, rich food as a staple. So most of what they eat is reducing the amount of fluid in their body. They're ejecting and losing it, and they're not replacing it. So I think those people are going to have more problems with allergies. But you know what? Physician is going to say, well, I think you should drink more water. You know, that's our approach with your allergy concern. No one even thinks in those terms.
Right, exactly. So eating the dry foods, breads, buns, bagels, pasta, cereal, that can really help with dehydration. Coffee and decaffeinated teas or pop, work as diuretic and actually contribute to chronic state of dehydration. Alcohol metabolizes in the liver, and a substantial amounts of water can be lost depending on the amount of alcohol ingested. That's where you get that hangover effect or the morning headache, is usually because of water loss. So, and one of the things that's really important is sometimes when you feel hungry, like a lot of kids say, I'm hungry after they just ate, or it's usually you're just thirsty and the food that you ate had no water in it. So just try to get foods like big salads and fruits with a lot of water in them where you can squeeze it out. Do you remember when we did that test with Ruby that one time, or you would do that test with kids when you were doing lectures in the schools? The bread test, remember you did that one? Can you squeeze water out of a piece of bread? And then you took an orange. Can you squeeze water out of it? Yeah. Well, then you know that this is hydrating and this is dehydrating, or acidic and alkaline. So it's really base stuff, but it's very, very fun to do. So hydration is essential to the excretion of all waste. And that's what we talked about, getting rid of it. Therefore, our intake of water must be in the very least equivalent to what we lose throughout the day. So the water is excreted through respiration, sweating, urine, feces. Few people consume enough water through food and liquids to compensate. So many are usually chronically dehydrated. And this is a big problem when people have, even when people get like gallstones or kidney stones, when they have different ailments, even arthritis, anything to do with itis, it's really a fact of try drinking more water and try getting more lubricated. Basically, that's what it is, right?
Yeah, I remember Dr. Hoffer said that the main cause of dementia in seniors was dehydration. The brain literally shrinks, which it does. So, you know, like, and sleep deprivation combined with dehydration, combined with stress, examine your life and look at the places, the aspects of your life that are missing, or the things you're doing you shouldn't be doing, and you just simply have to get back on track. That's the remedy. But it's so simple, it's stupid. I was walking through the park the other day from the gym through Polson Park, and I noticed a pigeon. It was stooping down to sip water from a little puddle on the ground. And I thought, that bloody pigeon is smarter than most people.
Yes. So as we simply put, the solution to pollution is dilution. Now let me just say that one more time. The solution to pollution is dilution. So get drinking your water. Drink the water between your meals and sip on it throughout the day at your desk or while you're driving or exercising. So like Corey said, invest in a water station. It'll save your life. Also, for your kids, make sure that they have a water station. Maybe when they're old enough that they don't just muck around and play with the water, that they actually have their own little cup and they just drink from it. It becomes a really good habit to get into, right? So basically, a rule of thumb is drink at least 2 liters of water per day. We're talking good, clean, filtered water here. And if you perspire heavily because it's a very hot climate or you're exercising, drink an extra liter of water. But the minimum is 2 liters of water a day. And if you're not drinking that right now and you want to get into the habit of it, then start with drinking just cups of water throughout the day, just drinking cups, and get rid of any pop or any garbage liquids that you've got in your fridge or in your cupboards, and just start drinking water. It's pretty simple and pretty base, and it doesn't cost that much either. Your grocery bill is going to go down and your health is going to go up. So that's it for today on What's Cooking.
Right. And for those of you who think math has any significance whatsoever, like, for example, there'd be no technology on the planet without it. Okay, so to calculate how much you need, get your body mass tested. Everyone should do this as a way of life routinely anyway. Find out what your lean mass is. Separate your fat from your lean functional mass. That's where the water is happening, not so much in the fat, although there is a little bit there. Multiply your lean mass in kilos by 30 milliliters. Okay, and that is your daily amount. And then you add extra water for training and hot weather and that kind of thing. But that gives you an idea of how much you need. Obviously, if you're 280 pounds and you're an athlete, a hammer thrower versus a 12-year-old girl who weighs 58 pounds or whatever, the amount of water that you need is going to be different. So calculate it based on the specificity of your mass.
Right on.
Awesome. Okay, that was a good one. Always a good reminder to get back to the basics.
Absolutely, and that's what I thought we all needed, was a really good reminder for that. So it's good for your complexion. It's good to get rid of toxins. It's good for energy. It just all around, it's just a wonderful, really super base thing to do, but a healthy thing to do.
Right on. So who was our last month's special guest?
Last month's special guest was Mr. Michael Hawley. Michael Hawley has been working the stages of Las Vegas since 1987 and around the world as a juggler and a comedian. He was born and raised in Orange County, California, and earned a degree in psychology and theater at UC Irvine. In high school and at UC Irvine, he was a pole vaulter, and he now coaches high school pole vaulters at the local Las Vegas High School. One of his pet projects is his Secrets of the Champions website, which records the daily practices of great athletes and how to show young people that champions are not born with it, but they become great through intelligent and disciplined practice. For more information about Michael's bio, please see the CHI website. Well, he talks about mathematics. You talked about math and science, and he says he talks to his students about this, and they said, hey, we're out of school now, we want to have fun on the track. And he says he's been a scientist all his life, that sports is a math motivator. He says he's doing calculus when he's juggling. He's not consciously doing it, but he can do calculus with his brain is doing it when he's juggling, and for that matter, while he's pole vaulting. I thought that was kind of interesting. So when I'm dancing, I'm doing math, right?
Yeah, well, again, not consciously. You could break it down and you could take a mathematical approach to it and examine it that way and think of it that way. But when you're in the zone and doing it, I think that you're not really thinking in those terms. But he's saying, hey, guess what? What I'm doing, and if you want to be a great pole vaulter, there is a math to this. It's just like any great athlete can ultimately be reduced into steps and precision and planning and calculation. Like the other day, we were at the track meet and we were watching the javelin throwers count their steps out from where they launch it and then backwards, so that they, when they run and take that approach, there is a mathematical aspect to knowing where to start running from, because they have added up the numbers.
Right. Yes, absolutely. So there is science involved, which is in science and math. Very cool. So when he's looking for athletes, when these young people come out in tracks, he says, when he looks for athletes, he calls it, he's shopping for athletes. He says he's looking for cheerleaders. So cheerleader, to me, that would mean somebody who's enthusiastic. Gymnasts are the best, and wrestlers, because they can handle being in the air. I just can't even imagine pole vaulting. To me, it just sounds too bloody scary. He says that pole vaulters are go-getters and kind of like risk takers. But I think that's important, because we talked about different athletes and what attracts a different athlete to what sport that they choose, right?
Yeah, well, that's what sport typing is all about.
Yes.
People are attracted to what they really are.
Yes, exactly. And pole vaulters have strength, height, speed, and longer arms. So that's cool. So the thing about what he's talking about, the secret of champions, is what he's learned. What is this athlete doing and what makes them great? So it's like when you talked about, you watch Yuri Sadiq on the YouTube, right? Just what is his technique? What is he doing that makes them so great, right? And he talked about learn like a baby. And learning like a baby isn't like, a baby doesn't cry and whine and snivel all the time. So you learn like a baby, which means you never stop. When a baby's trying to stand up, they keep going. They fall down, but they get back up again. They fall down and they get back up again. Or they're trying to climb onto something. They never give up. They persevere. And I think that was a really good analogy that he used.
Yep. He is a smart dude, man. He's got that background in psychology. And I think that is invaluable, because in all sport, there is a psychology that relates not only to why the athletes are engaged in doing it, but why they stay in it, and the pitfalls and the trials and the tribulations and all aspects that are mostly mental. I've heard this so many times in my life. This sport is mostly mental, Corey. You know, yeah, the physicality is there, but to overcome yourself, overcome the distance, the grind, the push, you have to find a way to pull something out of you, and that is mental. It's psychological.
Right. And you have to have a good attitude. You never give up, and you have to have a really good attitude. He says you want to practice the tiny little elements and keep going and work on those on a daily basis. Others will get out there and they'll just give up because they, like you said, they just, it's a mental thing, just persevering. Practice is essential, focus, discipline. Champions are not born. They practice every day, which is true, right? Look at all these great hockey players or basketball players. They just didn't get out there the first time. They have to love what they're doing. They have to love the sport and love the movement of the game in order to keep doing it and doing it and doing it, right?
Well, I think that nurture plays a huge role. But I do think that there is an element of nature. I do think that the champion, champions, champions at the very, 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 very top have a genetic component, a predisposition to greatness, have what it takes to do whatever it takes to get to the top. And then you get these freaks that come along that hardly do any work at all. And they just pick something up and throw it like 80 meters. They don't even hardly try. They just like come along and throw that javelin 50 meters when everyone else is struggling for years and years to throw it 40 meters.
Yeah.
You know, so but there is a genetic component to how you're put together.
Exactly. But I wonder sometimes if those people really do like what they're doing and can they do it consistently? Because that's what a champion is. A champion may not be at the top of his game 24/7, 365, but a champion can pull it out and do a championship performance every single time. That's what a champion to me is, their execution of material. So that person that just gets up and does it, I mean, can they do that all the time, though? Do you know what I mean? And do they actually like what they're doing? I think there's something about that as well. Anyway, he wants to understand how it all works. He loves coaching and he feels alive when he's present with the kids pole vaulting. And he says the number one thing is to be in the now. So that was a great interview, Michael. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. I really enjoyed that too. And it's kind of cool because he's an entertainer down in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
That's the first for us to meet someone. And we're definitely going to go see him when we're down there next time.
Yeah, for sure. And was a great motivator. He gave us a lot of wonderful tidbits. So thank you.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so finishing off, what's your hot topic?
Hot topic is getting injured. Eh, well, we all get injured at some point in our life, even if it's an operation and we need to recover. It's no fun at all, but it's part of life and it can happen in a heartbeat. So getting injured and what do you do and what's the most important thing and what is the answer to healing? The answer to healing is you have to stop what you're doing. If you've injured yourself in a sport, let's say, or you've tripped off a curb or you've just had an operation, you've just got to lay there and you have to do active rest and you've got to just deal with it. And believe me, it's no fun to be injured and have to sit there and deal with it, especially if you're an active person. Right, Corey?
Yeah, I was throwing the hammer the other day and someone came by, was watching, much older than me, maybe 80, and he said they had a son that was a good hammer thrower when he was much younger. And he said, I'm just curious to know, because I told him I was 60, he asked, are you able to throw the hammer without getting injured? And I said, as long as I throw it correctly. I get injured when I don't throw it correctly, when I make mistakes. And of course, isn't this true in the gym when you get injured lifting?
Yeah.
It's because you're doing it incorrectly, mm-hmm. right? So you've got to find a way slowly but surely to do the sport smoothly in the now, flow, zone, all that stuff. But that's the hard part. And I think that I don't know any athlete who's at the top who has been able to get to the top without ever being injured because they've all made mistakes. Like they've got problems with their back or their knees or their spine, or they do stupid things or they do things without intention, but they just make the mistakes because they're trying to get better and that's part of the process. So you have to find a way to get over that.
Exactly. And, you know, when you're not well and you keep on going, then you can make it worse. That's the hard part. You can make it worse. You can re-injure and you can make it worse than it was. But there's so many different things that you can do today, different therapies, massage therapy, acupuncture, chiropractor, active rest, gentle stretch. You can have a hot bath. You can do ice packs. There's a multitude of different various things that you can do to help yourself heal. Mind you, if you don't have a special plan, medical plan, it can cost you a little bit of money, but in the long run, you're going to get better, and hopefully you don't do the same thing again. I think I learned my lesson when I hurt myself. I keep going, and I go, oh, why did I do that? Because I just made it worse. So I've learned my lesson to just stop and not keep doing it and go get some help from it, and then eventually you get better, and life goes on.
Yeah, you can also make a sport out of treating the injury. In other words, let's say you're involved in a sport and you're very busy, you're enthusiastic and you love it, and then you get injured. My goodness, all you want to do is keep going, but you know you can't, so you might try it again and get injured. Never train through injuries, always around them. Find something else to do, like maybe you could swim or cross train or do hiking because your shoulder's ruined or whatever, but keep active. That's active rest, right? But put the time and energy that you were putting into your sport, which is a lot for some people, put as much enthusiasm, as much time and research into healing the body. And that is where you need patience, because sometimes you have to set the ankle, you have to stay quiet, you have to get extra rest and sleep, which kind of goes against the grain for a lot of people.
Oh, I know. It's tough. It's very, very tough. But, you know, it's just, it has to be done. So there you have it. That's my hot topic.
Nothing worse than a doctor saying to me or anyone else out there who loves training, you got to stop training, Corey. That's what my advice is. You got to stop training. Wow, man. That's really hard to hear.
It is.
Okay, that's cool. So everybody, look, listen, and learn. What's your final word?
My final word is, someone will always be better looking. Someone will always be smarter. Someone will always be younger. But they will never be you.